Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, so you're a police officer who's a member of like an elite SWAT team, and you and your partner are on a mission. It's a hostage situation, but you're kind of just like goofing around because at this point you don't really know like the full extent of how dangerous it is. And you propose this hypothetical to your partner. You're like, hey, so what do you do in a hostage situation? Like, bad guy's got a gun, has an innocent gun to their head. And your partner's like, kiss the hostage. You're like, what? And they're like, yeah, 99% of hostage situations can be solved if you kiss the hostage. Like, the killer or whatever, potential killer, will be so freaked out and surprised that they'll just drop their gun and run away. You're like, I don't know, man. This seems weird. Then, after the mission goes on for a little while, you end up becoming a hostage, and the bad guy has a gun to your head, and you're like, oh, no. Oh, no, this, I know exactly where this is going. And, like, your partner is cute, and, you know, he's a very good-looking guy, but you just don't see him like that at all. And then as the bad guy's about to drag you into the other room, you can see your partner rear up, lick his lips, and lean in to execute his ultimate plan. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, a show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
I mean,
this is a true gun to your head situation.
Yeah,
this is a literal gun to your head.
I think you kiss him.
Yeah.
But you just got to complicate the whole relationship. You guys work together every single
day.
But
he already warned you. Here's the thing. You kiss him and then you say, oh my God, I'm so glad you used that textbook technique to get me free. It would be so weird in any other situation for you to kiss me. But I'm glad that in this case, you did the thing that you had to do only for protocol because we have no feelings for each other.
But and what if the kiss is
chuck
good?
Him on the oh, that's a whole other problem.
Oh.
I mean, okay. If it's good, then you have to explore it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you gotta. I'm confused about
how he gets close enough to kiss you.
Well, just like also that's not real, right?
No, it's shoot the hostage.
Right. This is speed.
This is speed, but
kiss.
Sexier.
Instead of shoot.
All right. Now, here's the thing. What you did say he was handsome. You didn't say he was Keanu Reeves.
Well, I didn't want to completely fuck up the hypothetical because if any of, yeah, I mean, particularly Kelly, but if anyone knew it was Keanu Reeves, it'd be like, yeah, dude. You fucking take the kiss and then start sucking them off. I don't know.
Yeah, you're just like, I don't, where does it go from here?
You take the kiss and you're like, I don't even care if it gets me out of this situation.
Yeah. I could
better to
like
kiss
this.
Keanu before death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there is a logic issue of how do you get so close enough to kiss?
Mm-hmm. Why does Dennis Hopper release you after you've been kissed?
Yeah.
A lot of logic problems. Yeah, that's true.
But I think you just, I think you do the kiss and then you make a point of talking about how professional it was.
Mm. But okay, so how about this? So as Patrick pointed out, the kiss is flooring. So you are like blown away by this kiss. It works. His Keanu's plan works perfectly. Dennis Hopper runs into the other room, fakes his own death. And you're now like all tangled up, having been kissed by Keanu. But he takes the position of, yeah, dude, that's like classic cop 101. Like, this is how you save hostages. Mm, like,
oh, that's tough. Oh, he was just doing his job. You were having your world changed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh,
no. I think, you know, you got to change partners.
Oh.
Oh.
You have to protect yourself.
But then you won't be near him anymore. You could maybe, like, sway him, right? Like, you could
Patrick,
work on it.
What kind of existence is that?
This kiss was so good, though, right?
I know, but, like... Oh, the worst.
Plus, just think about this. The very next day, you're sitting at your desk, and he calls you, and he's like, I'm on a bus with another bomb on it. I need to talk to you all day long. And you're like, I was trying to distance myself from you. Like, you got to be a partner. You got to be, you know, like the guy at the desk in an action movie. You've got responsibilities, but you're swimming in this Keanu mess.
I mean, the good news is you only live for like another 45 minutes.
Is that good news?
It's not great news.
Well, the Keanu thing won't be your problem.
No, the exploding thing.
The exploding watch will be what gets you. Yeah.
Well, so maybe then that is okay that you can just take the memory of this perfect kiss with you to the grave?
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ.
Jeff Daniels opens the box that has the watch in it, takes off the back panel, realizes there's a wire, and it's ready to explode. And his last words are, I've always loved him. And then he blows up.
Here's the thing. I feel like this is a classic scenario. It's sort of like the trapped in a snowstorm, have to huddle for warmth situation.
Sure. Or even like kissing for a play or something.
Kissing for a play. Kissing for a cover.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, like a spotlight in a hallway is about to go by.
Yeah. Even though you could totally fake kiss in a hallway if you really needed to.
Yeah, you could just huddle.
You can just huddle and like yank on some clothes. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, in a play, you can do that too. Unless it's like...
No! Spit must be swapped!
That's the director's call. And you know what? I respect that. And I'm here for either or... But yeah, stage kissing. Come on, who hasn't been doing stage kissing since they were a kid?
Huh?
You mean like the one person stage kissing?
No, like with two people. You just like move your head back and forth with
You've
your
been
mouth
doing it
like at
since you were a kid?
Why, how frequently?
Yeah, on stage.
Oh. I thought you meant just like
I thought you meant like
whenever.
You know, your first girlfriend in fifth grade.
Well, like, I wasn't ready yet, Mogi, okay? And she was cool about it. Why are you being such a jerk?
Plus they were on stage.
Oh, those were different times though when we were kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 1980s.
It was the 80s.
Specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're doing 80s ships.
Wow. We teased it last week, but
yeah.
Now we're here for the real deal.
Yeah. You would think we would do like Christmas ships or something because it's Christmas today. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
But it's also Wonder Woman 1984 Day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited to watch.
Me too.
I'm going to get all cozy underneath a fatly knitted blanket.
Nice.
And
me too.
I'm going
me
to
too.
Check. Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan.
I'm currently under one right now, FYI.
Best Christmas.
It is very cozy.
I was telling Patrick, so I knit I hand knit everyone blankets, but my dog thought they were for him.
Of course.
So he was very mad when I took them out of the house.
I mean, the second I got it out, my cats thought it was for them.
Yeah, of course.
I was
like, oh, a squishy
that.
Blanket. That's for me.
That's interesting. Sarah thought it was for her.
But we're talking about the 1980s today.
Yeah, we are.
Because it is Wonder Woman 1984. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Colin, do you have an 80s ship that you wanted to share?
Hell yeah, I got an 80s ship I want to share. Do you guys, are you familiar with the character of Margaret Tate? from The Proposal, starring Sandy B.
Sure.
I mean, yes. No.
She's yes, the yes, Sandra yes. Bullock character in The yes, Proposal.
With Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, with okay. Ryan
yes,
Reynolds.
Yes, yes.
She's very uptight, and she's a business lady.
Yeah, and she has to pretend to be betrothed.
She's Canadian?
She is Canadian.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she's trying to get American citizenship.
So yes. By marrying a Canadian actor playing an American.
It's a tangled
with
web.
Betty White as a grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie tells the story of high-strung executive editor-in-chief Margaret Tate in conflict when she bribes her assistant, Andrew, to marry her so she doesn't get sent back to Canada due to a visa mishap. Andrew is another figure of contrast, mellow, even-tempered, used to...
What is going on?
Wait, are you just reading like a Goodreads
okay?
thing of like
Colin?
I'm giving the synopsis.
Colin, okay. did you go to a nutrition class? This is important.
You're very different right now.
Oh my god, I left my beef in the sink. I'll be right back.
Fucking sick, dude.
So gross.
Okay, what I was trying to get to is she learns to be more traditionally feminine from Andrew's Alaskan family, eventually adjusting to embrace womanly traits as opposed to the masculine ones she has adopted to succeed in her field of work.
The fuck wrote this synopsis?
I did not know that that's what it was, because I remember seeing the movie and not thinking that.
I don't think that that's textual. I think that's somebody...
Is that editorializing?
Someone editorializing. Took some
what
fucking...
What website are you on, Colin?
Is this from Parlay?
It's a 4chan. No, this was sent to me by my significant other as she was coming up with the tweet, and we decided there's only one person who can correct this nonsense. Let's say that description of Margaret's life and mm-hmm. the plot of the movie is correct. Well, fuck that. She needs a man who is high-powered, who knows what he wants, who will take action and do whatever it takes. And not only does he fucking allow her to be whoever the fuck she is, he loves it. And I'm talking about the quintessential 80s guy, Harry Ellis from Die Hard.
You love Harry Ellis so
I
much.
Fucking
nonstop
love
Harry
it.
Ellis.
For a guy who doesn't love Christmas, you love Christmas time because you can talk about Harry Ellis.
Dude, Harry Ellis is my Santa Claus.
Oh, Bubby.
And for those of you unfamiliar, Harry Ellis is the like boss of John McClane's wife's office, who is going to sweet talk and business wheel his and deal his way out of that hostage situation. And it doesn't go great. In the movie, he does get shot in the face, which is tragic. But in a world where he survives that and he gets to meet Sandy B's character and she's about to go through with this fucking bullshit arrangement to stay in the country, she's like just gets back from meeting his Alaskan family who teaches her about the values of womanhood. Mm. And she's kind of like, oh, God, I guess I got to go through with this. I mean, maybe I just buy in. She meets Harry Ellis in a fucking high-powered business meeting, and he goes, Bubby, I'm your white knight. And boom, fireworks, it's on. That's my ship.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's better for her.
Even though he's, like, easily 30 years older than her, I think this is a great... I don't usually love age gaps, but I think this is it. Because she needs somebody who's on her same wavelength.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they absolutely are. I mean, they'll do anything to get it done. That's their whole thing. It is the 80s mentality.
Because he just did a rom-com. He thought he found the end of a rom-com.
Well, yeah, he can find someone else, you know? Yeah. He can find someone
definitely
that likes that.
Maybe he can find someone.
he can find, someone who already fits into the mold that his family is pressuring him to fill as
You're
a
right.
wife.
No, I like this for both of them because it doesn't force either of them to really change. They can be who they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Ellis feels like a little bit of a shit bag, but like, I don't want him to die.
Right.
Right.
Honestly, a lot of people paint him as like a shit bag. And like, he is a product of his time. He bought in.
He is doing drugs in someone else's office. This is up there with having sex in someone else's office.
It's true. Very similar.
Do not let me walk in right. on you doing drugs in my office.
There's a bathroom down the
hall.
There's
a bathroom. There's your own office. Don't tell me Harry Ellis doesn't have his own office.
He gets off on it. And you know what, Mogi? He doesn't make it any of your business. Like,
that's
if you catch
point.
Him, yeah, that's unfortunate. But he's not telling you about it a week
that's
later.
True.
Like,
right,
hey,
not,
I did coke in Sandra Bullock's office.
Oh, okay. We don't know that, though, because he doesn't live for that other week.
We don't know what he'd be saying to Holly.
I pulled up IMDb to find out what the age gap between him and Sandy B is. I'm not mm-hmm. totally sure. Well, I didn't get as far to look when Sandra Bullock was born. But I did find out that the actor who portrays Harry Ellis, born in Toronto, okay. Ontario, Canada... So Whoa. It wouldn't even work.
Perfect.
It wouldn't work. Oh. She'd be
well,
stuck in Canada.
But here's the thing. He knows ways around immigration laws.
That's true.
That's right.
She's never going to have to worry about the law again while they're together.
And also maybe they just like run away to Japan, right? Like,
yeah.
Whoa,
yeah,
interesting.
They just go work for Nakatomi,
yeah.
you know.
Nakatomi corporate office.
I don't know that anybody... Other, I don't know.
It's a 9-year age
like.
Gap. It's not that bad.
Okay, that's not that bad.
That's not that bad.
I think I was just because she, I feel like, is playing his age, but I think she just got to play that age.
I think, yeah,
elastically.
Yeah, 25 years later.
Yeah, she has very good skin, and I think good genes. Let's be mm-hmm. honest. Some of it you can't get from a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of it you can get from money.
Honestly, lack of stress.
Yeah.
It's a great skincare.
Mm-hmm.
No, I really like that, Colin. I gave you shit that you know, how obsessed you are with Harry Ellis, but I'm glad that at least once a year I get to hear your Harry Ellis impression.
It's also fun just to see, like, who does Harry get to be with this time? You know?
It is. It's fun. It's a tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's why people tune into the show.
they're like countdown advent calendar to the day that we find out what Harry Ellis is up to.
Kelly, do you have an 80s ship?
Yes, I do. Okay, are you familiar with the movie Return to Oz?
Oh
no,
my god.
Lightly.
Oh man, it's tremendous.
It's too scary.
It's very scary. The Wheelers are extremely scary.
Mm-hmm. The witch who takes off her heads.
Mombi is tight as hell. I was trying to figure out who I wanted to ship her with, but I was like, she's so... I think I just ship her and all the heads
yeah.
together.
And remind me, how old is Dorothy now? Like, is it set long time after?
Well, so the confusing part about this is that it is more based on the book than the movie, but it does still serve as a... as a sequel to the movie. So she is actually younger because it's played by baby Fariza Balk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So in this, I think she's like 10 or like 8 or something. And then, but it is still a sequel to
the Judy Garland movie where
Judy
she
Garland
was
movie.
Like playing 16.
Yes.
Okay.
But was like 30.
Yes. I actually think she was 16.
Okay.
Because I remember looking it up.
I think she was 16, but had already lived a pretty tough life.
Rough. Rode hard, put away wet.
Yeah, poor Judy.
But I mean, you know, that's how sometimes you got to do what you got to do to make it in this town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, plus, hey, if this year you want to cry, listen to Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, the Judy Garland version. This
muddle
year
through.
It hits so hard.
We'll have to muddle through somehow.
We're muddling.
So in this movie... Dorothy is basically like she's going back to Oz because she gets like some kind of the movie's really scary. She gets taken by her family because she's still talking about Oz and they're like, she's crazy.
Won't so shut up about it, apparently. She won't shut up about it,
yeah.
apparently.
And she has a new friend, which is this chicken Bellina. And
you mean a new friend instead of Toto?
Yeah. It's Bellina the chicken.
Aw, that's cute.
That's not as cute as Toto. Toto's so cute.
And let me tell you something. I liked the actor, chicken actor, that played Belina.
Okay.
Like, I thought that the chicken actor was really funny, but I hated the voiceover of Belina. I don't like...
Oh, wait, it's a talking chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't love that. I assumed this was just another animal from her dirt farm that got to go on. Oh.
It is, but she talks in Oz. She goes to Oz with Dorothy. So... Belina, the chicken actor, is so funny, like really funny at like just really like the physical comedy is definitely there. Like the way that Belina
computer generated or a puppet?
No, she's an actual chicken.
She's like the John Ritter of birds.
Yeah. She's running around. Like the way she runs around is very, very funny. Like her facial expressions are very funny. I just think Belina's a really good actor. But the whole time I was very torn because I was like, I do love Belina. To look at Belina, I don't like to listen to Belina. But,
God.
So Belina, well, so Dorothy gets taken by her family. Uncle Henry and Aunt Em are like, she's stuck in this Oz thing and it's obviously fake. She's crazy. We're going to send her to a mental institution where she's going to be strapped down and get electroshock therapy.
No.
Yeah.
It's a child.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Wait, they had electricity back then?
Yeah, it's 1899.
Well, not at the dirt farm.
No, so, just not there.
Okay. Not at the
travel
dirt farm.
Like, we're going to have to send her. If we could, we'd just electrocute her at home.
Yeah. Yeah. But they have to go to a special center.
Gotcha.
So then she's about to like be electrified, but then a huge strike of lightning happens and like everything goes out and this mysterious girl comes up and gets her out of her shackles.
Uh-huh.
And they run away. They fall into a river.
Okay.
The other girl, she's gone. Dorothy is like on this little like float and she sees like a piece of, cause there's a big flood. So she sees like some wood and she lands on it. She wakes up. She's in Oz. Belina's there. Belina can talk. This is not a great development for Belina, but there is still a lot of physical comedy to be had with Belina, so don't worry. They get to the Emerald City. It's a shit show. Nothing's there. And there's like these statues of people.
Oh, God.
And it's so creepy. They're like in the middle of doing stuff and they're just statues.
I think I read this.
Yeah.
This is like this. This is making me remember. I'm sorry. I just saw a picture of Belina.
Belina's really good. Well, so like. Oh my God, this is my favorite part of seeing Belina. Okay, this is like the funniest part at the very end. So, you know, like in Star Wars where they're like walking to get their awards.
Uh huh.
Like they all walk together and someone holds Belina on a pillow. And they're all walking. And then Belina gets the little medal and it's like the key to the city or whatever. And at the very end, Dorothy's like looking in the mirror and she sees Belina in the mirror.
What?
And Belina's like counsel to the Queen of Oz.
Oh, good for Belina. You know what is kind of sad? It's sort of like Remy, the rat who's really good at cooking.
Yeah.
Being a really good chicken actor.
Yeah.
There's not many chicken parts.
No, no.
Like hardly
certainly
any.
Not good parts.
Or do we think all chickens are good actors? We just don't use them enough.
I think all chickens are good actors because they're like... Their instincts are very spot on for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
I'm trying to remember the last really good like chicken vehicle was
Chicken
the
Run.
Witch.
They didn't even use. Oh, okay.
You know.
Oh, right. Comedic.
No, not very. It was dour, in fact.
But I think also chicken acting there is that's a great way to show like they're good at like being scared and being funny.
We should add some chickens to our next screenplay.
Yes, because chickens, like, honestly, like, I do think chickens are some of the best actors.
This is incredible.
I think all of us should just add chickens to our current screenplay.
Okay, yeah,
fair. Right.
Whatever project you're working on.
So basically, like, she's in this, like, area where everybody's stoned. It's very scary. I'm sorry. If you want me to stop describing Return to Oz, please tell me.
I mean, I sort of do, but I also feel like I need to live in it right now.
I mean, Patrick did say multiple times it's very scary.
It's really scary.
You might be giving Patrick recurring nightmares right now.
So these things show up and they're called Wheelers. And I think these are the scariest things because I thought I had never seen this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched it months ago and I realized I blocked it from my memory.
Mm-hmm.
because it's so scary. Because the wheelers,
it comes back when you hear the squeaking of their fucking wheels.
Yeah. And they come out and they're like, they're basically like on all fours. Oh. And they are like wearing like extensions on their hands and feet that are end in wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put their heads down, but the tops of their helmets have scary faces on them. So they just look like really scary, like bent over, like really long armed and legged things that wheel around. So they are like basically Princess Mombi's version of the flying monkeys. Like they do the bidding of Princess Mombi, who has a million heads, and she wants to take Dorothy's head so that she
can. Like she takes heads and adds them to her body.
Yeah. Well, no, she has a hallway.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has like a hallway lined with heads.
Oh, it's like the house with the black and white door, whatever the hell it's called from Game of Thrones, where they got all the heads in that room.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Yes.
So basically, like, all this nonsense happens. And okay, there is a thing. Okay, this is like pretty messed up. So Dorothy like steals this powder of life from Princess Mombi. And she learns about this from Jack Pumpkinhead, who frankly I think should not exist in the same movie as the Scarecrow because they're the same.
They're both. I am now realizing I've 100% seen this movie.
Yes, you have.
Because now that you're saying Jack Pumpkinhead, I can pick. I know. Yes, I know.
Hate Jack Pumpkinhead.
He's a lot.
And then, so then they find
have
this.
Have we met any half of the ship?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it's the fucking chicken. I know it.
Well, it's possible. So then they like find this like moose head and they're like, we need to get out of here. Let's like attach this moose head to a bed and like put palm fronds on the sides and then sprinkle powder of life on it and bring this creature into existence.
Truly horrifying.
Truly horrifying. They fly away on his back. He starts falling apart and he's like, what am I for? And they're aww, like, to take us to our destination. And he's like, kill me.
Jesus Christ.
No, he doesn't say kill me, but he does fall apart.
Okay.
Oh my God. And crashes. It's like a combination of the whale from Hitchhiker's Guide and an Uber driver.
Oh yeah, this is a picture of the wheelers.
Yeah, Uber drivers are always asking you to kill them.
Yeah, first they say, where are you taking me?
They say, what's my purpose?
What am I for?
So then they meet. Oh, but before that, I'm sorry. They had met this character called TikTok, who I think is like the MVP of the movie.
Okay.
He's like he kind of has like the attitude of like a stout old general. Mm-hmm. And he's like a wind up guy. So you have to wind him up for movement, wind him up for speaking, and wind him up for thinking, I believe.
Okay.
And basically, TikTok like saves the day. And guess who else saves the day?
The chicken.
Bolina.
Do you know why? Because the Gnome King, he's evil. Mm-hmm. He's like made out of rocks. He eats. Oh, also, I need you to know that the moose contraption is called a gump.
Okay.
Okay. And the gump's body gets eaten by the Gnome King, and then only his head is left, but he's still completely sentient. I know.
Oh, poor gump.
And then the Gnome King starts to try to eat Jack, but Bolina hid inside of Jack's pumpkin head and laid an egg, which are poisonous to the Gnome King. So then the Gnome King dies.
Okay.
Because of the egg. And
wait,
like,
does Jack get eaten then?
I think he's fine.
Oh,
okay. Oh, that's right. He's about to eat Jack, and then she like poops the egg out like of his
straight down his throat.
Yeah, straight down his throat.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So then that frees everybody, and the Emerald City's back, and everyone's back, and everyone's like, "Wow, wonderful!" Like a lot of other stuff happens, but like everyone's like, "Yay, we're all back!" And then like the Queen of Oz, who's like kind of not really been involved at all, is like, "Now I can be queen." So for me, what I would rather have is that Oz is co-ruled by TikTok and Bolina.
Yeah, that would be better.
And I think like it's not sexual, but they are like best friends and maybe life partners. And then they rule Oz together. But unfortunately, ooh, as it stands in the movie.
Yeah, the queen is the boss.
The queen's the boss. And okay, she doesn't deserve it, I don't think.
But
no, because where's she
who
even been?
Rescued Dorothy.
Oh, wait, from where?
She was in shackles.
Oh, it was the Queen Ozma. It was
and then so she rescued Dorothy and is like, all right, I'm gonna sit the rest of this out. You can save me.
Yeah, I think like she can only manifest like sometimes. Okay. Like she's being trapped by Princess Mombi, I think.
Okay.
Because Princess Mombi kind
able
of
to astral project. To
yeah. Yeah.
God, this whole thing is a nightmare.
It is.
But
really
the final
bad.
Scene, it's so funny. Like to me, I really love this movie, but it is deeply disturbing. But the final scene of like Dorothy looks in the mirror after she's gotten back home. And like the whole asylum has like burned down and like been destroyed in the flood.
Yeah.
So she's back home and she like looks in the mirror and she like says to Auntie Em, she's like, I'm fine. I like don't believe in that stuff anymore. And then she like looks in the mirror and it's Princess Ozma with like, I think like TikTok or like Jack Pumpkinhead behind her. And then like Belina wearing her medal, like stares at her. And it's great because Belina does not speak. So it's like just pure chicken acting. And it's so good. Like it's so funny. Just seeing Belina wearing a medal, like to me, that's like comedy gold.
Oh my Especially God. If she's also in a relationship with TikTok.
If she's in a relationship with TikTok and she wears her like key to the city, that's so funny.
That is really funny. It's is a chicken capable of winding up TikTok?
Oh, she would find a way.
She'll find
a
way.
I think so, yeah. I think she could like maybe like use her body weight to kind of like she'd have to it's not twist it's more like grab onto pull down
sure. Oh yeah, and she could do a little chicken flutter
yeah.
from one side of the key to the next.
I love that. That's great.
That's really cute.
It's so wild that you would have this magical world that's established that we all know with all these characters that we know and friends of Dorothy that we all know and then just abandon all of them for the sequel.
Yeah.
Like
all of them are frozen.
Like
in...
no lion, no scarecrow, no Tin
Actually,
Man.
You know who's interim ruler of Oz?
Who?
Scarecrow.
Oh, but he's not good at stuff.
No. He's, and then
he doesn't have a brain.
No, but he got one.
He got one.
A little.
Or had it all along.
Yeah, he had something up there. He needs the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion to even him out.
And the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion are frozen in, like, you see statue stone versions of them in Emerald City.
Yeah.
And it's not like a happily ever after where you get to undo it at the end. That's their fate, huh?
No, they're undone.
Oh, they're undone. Okay.
Yeah, all the stone people become undone because basically the Gnome King, he is made of stone and his thing is, like, turning people into stone.
Gotcha.
And so he turned everybody into stone, but then when he was destroyed, his magic lifted.
Okay. I have a question. It might be a bit of a mid-episode hot take, but what do you do if you send your niece to a mental facility and then she comes home a couple days later and is like, I'm fine, and then you find out that the mental facility burnt to the ground in the meantime? Yeah. Like, that's... Like, she for sure did it, right?
Well,
I think probably she did it.
They learn, because they don't know that it's going to be, like, electricity. Like, they just know... That treatment will occur. So they don't know that she stood to be electroshock therapied.
Oh, okay.
And
but even
I think they
so, like, they can't possibly think that a mental disorder as deep as hers was going to be fixed in a few days.
No. A few days.
But also, like, isn't that what growing up is? Learning what to hide from your caregivers?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that whole
also,
need
like,
to know thing.
Great point.
I think it shows that I'm completely like emotionally stunted because like when Princess Ozma or Queen Ozma or whatever, when she's like, Dorothy, you have to go back. And Dorothy's like, but I don't want to. Why do I have to? I was like, yeah, why does she have to? Like, stay in Oz. Like, the dirt farm fucking sucks, dude. Like,
yeah,
Oz is great.
Well, Oz is great and something that she fought to make great twice.
Yes. Yep. She made Oz great again.
Honestly, I don't think I'm ready for parody t-shirts, but like when I am, that's a great one.
And you're going right to MOGA?
MOGA! Which is very close to Mogi.
It's very close to Mogi.
Skip the t-shirt. Go straight for a tattoo. You won't regret it.
Just across your chest, like so you're wearing a t-shirt all the time.
Yeah, more things to lie to my parental units about.
Uh-huh.
Patrick, do you have an 80s ship?
I do. Do you guys remember the McDonald's mascot from the mid to late 80s, Mac Tonight?
Oh,
yeah. Love that moon guy.
He's got a big moon face, mm-hmm. Played by Doug Jones.
Did not know Doug Jones did that.
Yep. Crazy, right? One of his like earliest roles before any like TV or movie stuff.
Wow.
So, you know, Mac Tonight, he's always playing these like corporate gigs for McDonald's, right? Yeah. He's spending a lot of time in the studio. He's a magical moon man who can fly through the air with a piano, is incredibly talented. His talent arguably being wasted as a spokesman for McDonald's, right?
100%.
So like he has a tough day on set. They're shooting commercials where he's using his magic and, you know, playing music. And he's like, I gotta just reconnect with like playing music and, you know, just like doing what I want to do. So he calls his old agent, right? And is like, can you book me at like a shitty club for tonight? I just need an hour where I can play whatever music I want. I don't have to tell people about, you know, getting McDonald's for dinner, which was like, seemed like a big part of the ad campaign. Was McDonald's just a lunch thing before?
Not a dinner for adults.
Yeah, you didn't like go get it and bring it home, I think was what they were trying to combat.
Or maybe they were thinking late night eats, like that people weren't. It's so hard to imagine people not eating McDonald's for late dinner, but maybe back then they weren't eating it for like it's 11.
Yeah, well,
because that's think, like his thing, right? Because he's night.
Yeah, he's Mac tonight.
Well, honestly, their goal was probably just to make people eat McDonald's at all times, indiscriminately.
Yeah, never not.
Yeah, true.
I mean, because when did the first 24-hour McDonald's start?
I haven't seen the founder yet, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. That's like the post-credit sequence. You know what? We could make even more money if we were never closed.
But this is obviously them like advertising to like adults and trying to be cool, right?
Yes.
Like all of the other mascots are like clowns and shit. And then here's...
people disgusting. Who steal burgers, how is that your thing?
You know what
that's
it
ridiculous.
Is? It's kid shit. It's kid shit.
That's
and
kid
they're trying
bullshit.
To-
that's right.
Well, that's true, because to a kid at McDonald's, a burger's free anyway.
That's true.
That's true. They want to get to the adults, so they brought out Sexual Dynamo, Mac Tonight.
So anyway, he goes to this club. It's like a total shithole. And he's like,
I'm so excited about
awesome.
This.
Awesome. This is great. He gets up on stage and he just does like free jazz for an hour. And like he comes out and at first people are like, fucking Mac Tonight. And he gets booed a little bit. But then he just starts like, he just like free jazz, just like doing exactly what he wants. It's like, it's discordant. It's hard to listen to, but like, it's fucking awesome. You know?
Does he do the freestyling in between like little conversations with the audience?
He's not Jeff Goldblum, if that's what you're asking. Okay.
I was thinking about Jeff Goldblum, but I'll
that's
stop.
Who I thought was about to walk into the club.
I was thinking of those. Have you seen that Tim and Eric sketch where they do like the improvisational jazz, like in between conversations?
Yes.
I was thinking of that.
Well,
he does not do that.
We may get to that. Yeah, Mac's cooler than that. He honestly needs the whole hour to play. Like.
Okay.
So he finishes his set. People, you know, they
play
piano.
Okay, great.
So you know, he finishes his set. He goes back to the green room, and he finds waiting for him in the green room, Red, the California fucking raisin, who is in the audience and is like, I've been hawking raisins with my bandmates for so long. It was so awesome to see someone who's been a spokesperson for so long, just playing what they want to play. And so they connect and they get high and play music together and maybe fool around a little bit.
But they can never do it in person because you can't put raisins on your McDonald's.
Yeah, you can't. Like, the branding would never work out.
It's right.
They stand to like be. Yeah.
Their really relationship is like the least corporate thing imaginable, even though like that's what they have to spend all their fucking time doing is selling McDonald's, selling raisins. But now they can just be together and everyone else can hate it. But like, it's so rad and they just play exactly what they want.
So does Red keep this a secret from the other raisins?
Great question.
I think so. So the California Raisins are founded by brothers AC and Bebop, right? And Red, mm-hmm. Red came, so. Of course. I mean, let's meet the raisins, everyone. So he comes along later and is like, he's the sort of like hired gun guitar player for them. So like he doesn't have the same sort of like allegiance to, you know, that shit that the rest of the Raisins do. So yeah, he doesn't tell anyone.
Oh, great. I love this. That is the perfect 80s ship.
That's mm-hmm. so good.
Thank you.
It's very 80s. It's wonderful.
Yes, it is.
It, man, I, in trying to think of 80s ships, it sucks how fucking cynical and like corporate and gross like yeah. most of the 80s is.
Yeah.
It's true. The icons of the 80s are not that shippable.
I don't think it's any different nowadays. Maybe we just can't see it for what it is living in it.
Yeah, no, that's probably
because the 80s, like back then, that just seemed normal. Like, of course, there was a flying jazz moon who told me to eat chicken nuggets
at mm-hmm. night, and in
specifically
the morning,
at night. And then the grimace was times. For the afternoon. Grimace loves his afternoon delight. Don't get it twisted.
Do you guys want to know how I approach this challenge?
Yes,
I would
please.
Love to.
So I went back. Okay, so where I'm going to end up is probably the most obvious place anyone could guess where I'm going to end up. But let me tell you where I start.
Okay.
So
Harry Ellis
ships...
and the cast of Degrassi.
Oh my God. They've
he
got
would
a new
destroy
teacher.
Destroy them.
Don't give away next year's show.
Ooh, wreck me, 80s daddy.
Sick, dude.
That's so disgusting.
Fucking sick.
Okay, but also amazing t-shirt. An yeah. image of
wreck
like
me, 80s daddy.
Ellis like oh doing God. What he does with like a little word balloon coming from the side saying wreck me, 80s daddy.
That's great.
Oh, okay. Okay, but I have a cricket. We can make this happen, guys. Anyway, so I was thinking 80s movies. Now, there are some movies in the world where even though when they were made of their time, they feel like a period piece. Because there's yes. so much that thing. One of the ones I always think of is like Reality Bites. That feels like a movie made now about the early 90s.
Yeah.
But it was made then. Or like the other one that always gets me, and this one is from when I was in high school, so it also just like feels very much. But have you guys ever seen the movie Go?
Yes, I love the movie Go.
It's a 1999 movie that feels like a period piece of 1999.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
They go to raves and the music that they, and the No Doubt song that they listen to and like the whole thing is just mm-hmm. so 1999.
Yeah.
So this movie is a 1983 movie that while it was contemporaneous when it was made, it feels like a period piece of the 80s. And it's
love
a movie
it.
Called Valley Girl.
Yay!
Yay
I was
Girl.
Hoping you were going to talk about Valley Girl.
And this is one of my favorite movies of all time. I watched it again last night just to make sure I still love it and also to give myself happiness. I do. It's great. It's Deborah Foreman and Nicolas Cage and a sort of, and I think I've talked about this show before, but it's a Romeo and Juliet kind of story. She's from the Valley. He's from Hollywood. The Hollywood parts feel grimy and like right now it's kind of fun to watch like people in a crowded club because I'm like, I remember what it's like to go see live music in a crowded venue.
Ryan, how dare you?
I know. I'm sorry.
It's true, though.
But it's like you just it feels and it does kind of feel dirty, but it also feels like I would rather be there than in my couch. And then the Valley parts very much, even though I grew up in suburban D.C., like it's. I recognize that Valley vibe yeah. for sure from my youth. So it's a great movie. I highly recommend it. The ship is the primary ship, which is Randy and Julie. The chemistry is insane. Like it's one of those movies where if you told me the two actors were having an actual affair, I would believe it because their dynamic is like the movie is pretty arch. Like there's a lot of Valley speak. There's a lot of, you know, silly comedy. But the two of them, like from the moment they see each other, they're like, oh, man, they're in lust with each other. And as they get more and more together, like you feel like they're falling in love with each other. It feels so authentic to that kind of young, unjaded romance. So like,
yeah.
I highly recommend it. And it also I had forgotten and I don't know how I forgot because it's my favorite part of the movie. There's this woman, and now I'm closer to this woman's age than any of the characters in the movie. And she is presenting Prom King and Queen, and it's maybe one of the best comedic performances of the 80s.
Better than this chicken?
I'm sorry, but yes.
God damn it. Justice for Belina.
It's just the most, this earnest woman talking about what it means to be a king and queen. Is it about
an 80s king and queen even?
What does it mean to be a king and queen? Is it about having the fanciest clothes? I think not. Is it about who's dating the captain of the football team or the head cheerleader? I don't think so. Is it a popularity contest? I doubt it. You know, kings and queens, they don't grow on trees. No, I just said that's the actual lines that I just said. That was not improv. It's so fucking good. And then at the best part, I'm sorry I'm making you guys do this, but you said 80 ships. So it was inevitable.
Right.
So the...
I regret nothing, by the way.
Her climax of her speech. So she does her part of like, is it about popularity? I doubt it. Kings and queens don't grow on trees. You know, when I was in school, I wanted to be queen. I wasn't.
Oh.
Whoa, okay.
Is that it? Is that the end of the speech?
That's the end of the speech! She's like, here!
There's no, like, but here is your king and queen?
Yes!
There's no...
That's just like, I wanted to be king. And she was wearing glasses. You didn't see, I took my glasses off.
Oh, no, I can hear the glasses coming off.
Yeah.
And she says, I wanted to be king. Queen. I wasn't. It's like, and this woman's credit is prom teacher.
No.
She deserves all of the accolades in the world. I hope that she had the best career that she could have wanted and had everything that she dreamed of, because this performance is amazing. It's everything. Like, it's like, I look at it, I'm like, this is probably why I started doing comedy, because I want to be this woman. But Valley Girl is on Amazon Prime. So if you're a Prime person or you have access to a Prime account, you could watch it today.
Yeah.
That's
I'm going to do it. I'm going to watch
Please
it.
Please do.
I'm going to watch that and Return to Oz today, because that's on Disney. And fuck, man, that looks good.
No, Colin, I think you will really like in for exactly the same reasons that Patrick hates Return to Oz, you will love it.
Yeah. It seems like some twisted shit.
Or scared of.
I'm scared of it.
Yeah, I don't think you hate it. I take it back.
Sometimes you can like things that scare you.
I do think that's a really good double feature, though.
Yeah, it's wild.
Like, people, like, if you did that in a theater, people would be like,
huh. And then you just, like, surf over to YouTube and watch a bunch of Raisins commercials and Mac Tonight.
Those are the interstitials.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Like, let's all go to McDonald's.
It's time for dinner now.
Wheelers.
Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.